Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, January 21st, 2021. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Biden Inspires Hope, Distrust in Divided Twin City Electorate, by Timothy Eggert and Kate Heather. Bloomington. Divisions among locals over who should occupy the Oval Office were still flowing Wednesday, even after Joe Biden took his inaugural oath to become the 46th President of the United States. In spite of expectations of civil unrest, downtown Bloomington remained bare of protesters, much like the grounds of the State House in Springfield. Community members' disagreement was instead revealed through a series of interviews with the Pantograph. Some said they hadn't before felt more proud to be an American. Others said they hadn't before felt this ashamed. The former was the case for Carol Cunningham, a West Bloomington numerologist who voted for Biden in the general election, but not the primary. I'm not a big Biden fan, but if Trump was the worst president ever, maybe Biden could be the best. At least for this time, Cunningham said. We came this close to losing our democracy under Trump. We needed someone who will reach across the aisle and will encompass the needs of everybody. Many residents largely echoed Cunningham's sentiments, explaining that while Biden wasn't their ideal president, they remained hopeful that he could become one. I hope we got the right president this time, said Michelle Owens, 67, of Bloomington. I think Trump made all these promises and then he turned around and he just screwed everybody else, Owens said. Now that we have Joe Biden, I think he's going to make good for everybody, especially the immigration community. Biden has announced a dense set of goals for his first 100 days in office. Among them are implementing COVID-19 economic recovery and public health plans, introducing immigration legislation, and facilitating environmental regulations. Gaining control of the coronavirus pandemic is especially important to 28-year-old Mitch Rogala of Bloomington. I'm hoping that it's a step forward, Rogala said as he was walking home Wednesday afternoon. I'm hoping the vaccine gets pushed through, and I'm hoping that we can really handle this whole coronavirus thing. That's what I'm really hoping is the first thing we plan on. He also hopes the country can get back on track as far as the economy, getting everybody's jobs done, he said. We had a huge loss of jobs in the last year, and it's lower now than it was when Trump took office. So I'm hoping that everybody can get back to work, and financially, everybody can get back on track as far as the government and individuals. Linda Collins, who voted for Trump in 2016 and again in November, said she doesn't see Biden as the nation healer he's pitched himself to be. Look what happened after he got elected, Collins said, pointing to the violent insurrection that took place at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th and resulted in the death of 5 people. I know some people blame that on Trump, Collins said, but really, would they have done it if Biden wasn't elected? For Warren, a 62-year-old Bloomington native who declined to give his last name, questions still remain around Biden's election altogether. Just look at how many people raised concerns, Warren said. I mean, in all that, there's got to be some truth. Doug DeLong, a West Bloomington landscape architect, flatly rejected that argument, explaining that electing Biden was not only fair and legitimate, but also the right thing for the country. We've had this internal division, this fighting and holding everybody down, DeLong said as he sketched at a table inside a downtown coffee shop. It didn't take very long for Biden to reintroduce the concept that human beings in general, and hopefully Americans in particular, want to help everybody rise up, DeLong said. I have hopes his ambitions will move the country forward. And here's a related front page story entitled, state capital quiet despite armed protest threat. National Guard police patrol after FBI warning. By Brendan Moore. Springfield. All was quiet on the Illinois State Capitol front Wednesday morning as National Guard troops with rifles drawn guarded the complex against the threat of armed protests surrounding the inauguration of President Joe Biden. Illinois' capital city has been on high alert for more than a week after the FBI issued an intelligence bulletin warning of armed protests being planned at all 50 state capitals and the U.S. Capitol by the most fervent supporters of former President Donald Trump. Trump supporters, believing the former president's false claims of voter fraud, stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, interrupting the certification of Biden's Electoral College victory and resulting in the deaths of five people and significant damage to federal property. But, as has been the case for several days, members of the Guard, Capitol Police officers, and Illinois State Police troopers far outnumbered curious onlookers, passers-by, and the occasional protester. Henry Haupt, spokesman for the Secretary of State's office, confirmed that there have been no organized protests and no arrests at the Capitol complex Wednesday. Law enforcement efforts have been very effective, he said. There have been several Stop the Steal protests outside the Illinois Capitol since the 2020 election, but they have all been relatively small and peaceful. Still, state officials took no chances given the threats surrounding the inauguration. Last week, Governor J.B. Pritzker activated 250 Illinois National Guard troops to help secure state buildings in downtown Springfield. Our goal is not to have direct engagement with citizens, but our soldiers and airmen are trained in non-lethal tactics to support if requested to do so, Major General Richard Neely, the Adjutant General of the Illinois National Guard, told reporters on Saturday. But our engagements are really more about supporting checkpoints and assisting law enforcement where they may be needed. Guard members have been a visible presence around the Capitol complex since Saturday. State employees were encouraged to work from home Monday and Tuesday. The complex was closed Wednesday out of an abundance of caution. The James R. Thompson Center and two other state office buildings in Chicago were also closed Wednesday due to the threats. Several streets around the Capitol were closed to vehicular traffic Wednesday, with guard members manning checkpoints throughout most of the day, like it were an army base. Later in the afternoon, streets remained closed, but the presence of soldiers was less visible. Pedestrian traffic was permitted on sidewalks fronting the building, but few took the opportunity. Shortly before Biden took the oath of office, there were only a handful of protesters near the heavily guarded grounds. Among them were two men, one from Belleville and the other from Highland, standing in front of the Capitol. They said they came in search of peaceful protests at the state Capitol. Two others included a man wearing a Trump hat and a woman with a sign with phrases like "American coup" and "the world knows." What the handful of folks found was a boarded-up Capitol building, a heavy police presence, and not an organized protest in sight. And here's another related story headlined, "Call for Unity Appeals to Local Leaders," by Lindsay Jones and Cade Heather. Bloomington. McLean County political party leaders found common ground Wednesday in the central theme of the new administration of President Joe Biden, the need for unity. 2 weeks after violence erupted at the U.S. Capitol, the 46th president used his inaugural speech to call upon the higher aspects of human nature, urging the citizenry to together write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness. Optimistic, yet somber in tone, it reflected locally how the McLean County Democrats viewed the transition of power from President Donald Trump to Biden. We're glad that Biden mentioned in his address how democracy has prevailed, that it has triumphed over the politics of fear. Patrick Cortese, chairman of the McLean County Democrats, said, "We feel that is an important thing to take note of, not only in national politics, but in local politics as well." McLean County Republican Party Chairwoman Connie Beard said Biden is inheriting a strong foundation to build on, including a COVID-19 vaccine, but said he has a crucial assignment ahead of him. "Time will tell what President Biden will do with that solid start to his term," Beard said. "His biggest task will be unifying the nation. The over 70 million voters who supported President Trump will need to see that this administration will not attempt to diminish sincere concerns about the integrity of our electoral system or to vilify citizens for their political beliefs." John Shaw, director of the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University Carbondale, agreed that Biden now faces the task of uniting a deeply divided America. "President Biden is inheriting a raging pandemic that he has got to get under control, and deep racial and cultural divisions intensified by the mob assault on the Capitol," Shaw said. He said Biden will start with getting a handle on COVID-19 and the approval of stimulus funding. "I think he has a very shrewd sense that it's going to be hard to rebuild the economy unless state and local governments have resources," Shaw said. Cortese said the local party feels that while Wednesday was a day of celebration, they realize there's a lot of work going forward. "On a local level," Cortese said, "that looks a lot like taking a bigger role in our community, doing more to support those who've been supporting us, and for him, getting out more often to speak to the people who live not only in Bloomington Normal, but all over McLean County, and let them know about the kind of values that we stand for." Beard said that locally, name-calling, blacklisting, boycotting, or calling for resignations are not the markers of a cooperative spirit. "We must support honest and full disclosure of our government bodies." Beard, a realtor with Debeston Real Estate in Bloomington, saw her name appear on a list that circulated social media last summer of people and businesses to boycott. The document said businesses were added if the owners support Trump or made comments saying all lives matter. The Bloomington Normal Democratic Socialists of America also recently called for Beard's resignation as chair of the McLean County Republican Party. Beard, in a statement Wednesday, said that honest discourse should not come with fears of retribution. "McLean County has been kept strong by a high number of elected officials who have served for the good of the people," she said. "We have the opportunity in the upcoming consolidated elections to add to those numbers." The next story is entitled, "Waylon to go back to prison. Plea settles escape charge, no retrial in 1991 murder case," by Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. Donald Waylon's remaining McLean County cases were wrapped up Wednesday afternoon, sending him back to the Department of Corrections with a new sentence, in addition to finishing the 30 years he must serve for the 1991 murder of his father. Waylon, 54, pleaded guilty Wednesday to escape, a Class 3 felony, which was the first charge brought against him last year while he waited for a new trial in the 1991 case. He was charged with escape in May 2020 when he was found in violation of the conditions of his home confinement. In a plea agreement, the state dismissed 8 additional escape charges, as well as 2 counts of violation of an order of protection, domestic battery, unlawful restraint, interrupting a report of domestic violence, and criminal damage to government-supported property. Whelan was sentenced to 3 years in prison, followed by 1 year of mandatory supervised release, with credit for 247 days served. He spent 28 years in prison for his father's murder before the conviction was vacated in 2019 by the Fourth Appellate Court, which ruled newly discovered evidence had the potential to change the outcome of his 1991 trial. At that time, Judge Scott Drazewski, who has since retired, granted Whelan's motion for a new trial, and the defendant was released from custody with an ankle monitor after posting $100,035 in bond. Prosecutors appealed to the appellate court, which granted the appeal in a ruling that reversed Drazewski's granted motion. The court determined an incorrect standard had been used to determine whether a new trial should be granted. Citing this guidance from the Fourth Appellate Court, Drazewski reversed his ruling in December, and Whelan was remanded back to the Department of Corrections. The judge granted Whelan credit for the 18 months he spent on home confinement. However, he has remained in the McLean County Jail while the four 2020 cases were pending. Given his credit for time served, Whelan is expected to finish his 1991 sentence in March, defense attorney Jonathan McEldowney said Wednesday. The new sentence will begin after the first is completed. Elliot Slosar, one of Whelan's lawyers who works on the exoneration project, was not available for comment. Here's an article headlined, Bus System Gets Grants. Connect Transit Gets $19 million in State and Federal Funds, by Sierra Henry. Normal. Connect Transit had a record-breaking year for infrastructure projects, securing more than $19 million in state and federal grants in 2020. These are highly competitive capital grant programs, and for us to be so successful in that speaks to the success of our staff, our riders, and our system, Board Chairman Ryan Whitehouse told the Pantograph. Despite challenges brought on during the COVID-19 pandemic, Connect Transit is pushing forward with several infrastructure and capital projects, including a new downtown Bloomington transportation center, Whitehouse told the Normal Town Council Tuesday night. Of the $19 million in grant dollars, Connecticut Transit received an $8 million bus and bus facilities grant in August through the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Transit Administration for the new downtown Bloomington Transfer Center. Connect Transit has retained a project manager, and the site analysis study is nearing completion, Whitehouse said. In November, Connect Transit was awarded a $9.92 million Rebuild Illinois Capital Program grant through the Illinois Department of Transportation for improving service in downtown Bloomington, bus stop improvements, and to purchase four 35-foot electric buses. Connect Transit also secured $650,000 in funding to bring solar power to its Normal headquarters at 351 Wiley Drive, said Whitehouse. That funding will support infrastructure for the electric buses. I'm excited to see that we are able to get the grant dollars that are highly limited, especially in 2020 due to COVID, Councilwoman Chamberlain Cummings said Tuesday. When we are able to take advantage of that, it is a great thing and a great day, and it does speak to how well the organization is continuously evolving and becoming better. The transportation system continues to take the COVID-19 pandemic seriously, Whitehouse said. In March, Connect Transit will have gone a year without fare collection on fixed route and Connect Mobility services, which were suspended March 17, 2020. Before COVID, our ridership numbers were going to be our third largest ridership numbers in Connect Transit history, White House said. As COVID-19 restrictions are lifted, he said, ridership increases a little bit each month. Despite the challenges of the pandemic, White House pointed to a few upcoming projects, including a bus route suggestion page that will launch in the coming months. I think Connect Transit has a pretty bright future, White House said, adding that receiving grant dollars and continued progress on the Better Bus Stop campaign is a pretty big win for our community and for our system. There, community members may make suggestions on routes they would like to see created, White House said. Connect Transit is also seeking community input on its general manager position. Former Normal City Manager Mark Peterson has served as general manager since the departure of Isaac Thorne, who left to become director of transit for Knoxville Area Transit in Tennessee. The company hired New York-based hiring firm Harris Rand Lusk to conduct the search for its next general manager, and White House said a hiring decision will likely be made in March. The next article is entitled, Speaker, Pandemic Shows Health Gaps. Physician, IWU alum, speaks at Founders Day via YouTube. By Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. The COVID-19 pandemic has provided an opportunity to address disparities in healthcare, the Illinois Wesleyan University Founders Day speaker said Wednesday. Even before the pandemic, research showed that blacks were not getting the same caliber of health care as whites and were more negatively affected by social factors in health, such as poverty, noted Dr. Stephanie White, a 1991 IWU graduate and physician serving as Senior Clinical Solutions Medical Director for Aetna Medicaid. That disparity received greater emphasis with research showing that predominantly black counties had three times the infection rate and six times the death rate from COVID-19 when compared to predominantly white counties, she said. Here's an opportunity here. Let's talk about those disparities. Let's talk about, now that we're in a pandemic, how do we address them, said White. Her talk reflected the title of her address, COVID-19, the Great Disruptor. Originally planned to be given in person on campus, instead it was presented on IWU's YouTube channel. Everything was turned on its ear with the pandemic, she said. Evolve or die. That's a part of life, but a part of the pandemic. She related some of her own experiences as a black medical professional and others she knew being treated differently. Her examples included the times she went for treatment for severe migraine pain and the doctor repeatedly said he didn't prescribe narcotics for migraine pain, even though that's not what she asked for. I think of those I care for or have cared for who can't articulate for themselves, who can't use the medical jargon, said White. Her talk coincided with IWU's annual Martin Luther King Jr. teach-in, and White was to give a presentation later in the day on Blackness and U.S. Healthcare to students, faculty, and staff as part of the teach-in. Her Founders Day speech addressed other lows in 2020, such as the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor that triggered civil unrest. It kind of set the stage for many of us to feel a sense of, I'm not going to take this anymore, a sense of intolerance, said White. In calling those listening to action, White said, we all have a collaborative role here. She said, the solutions include asking yourself whether you are exhibiting anti-racist behavior and whether you are being an ally and championing a cause, from racial injustice to immigration to health care. Although changes are needed at an institutional level, such as addressing implicit bias and providing culturally sensitive awareness training, White said, "In order to impact the system, you have to start with the individual, because the individual overpowers the system." The address complemented IWU's intellectual theme for this academic year, Health, Healing, and Humanity. IWU President Georgia Nugent said, "While this theme was chosen before 2020, it obviously could not be more relevant today, as we see these three inextricably intertwined in the context of the coronavirus pandemic." Interim University Chaplain Monica Corsaro opened the convocation by invoking the words of King when he spoke at IWU in 1966. "I still have faith in the future, and I still have faith in America, because I love America and believe that we will continue to build a coalition of conscience that one day will solve our problems." And here's an item entitled, "Man Jailed on Battery Count," by Cade Heather. Bloomington. A Bloomington man faces battery charges in McLean County. Authorities accuse Adrian Jones, 31, of aggravated domestic battery, a Class 2 felony. According to court documents and a probable cause statement read in court Wednesday, he is accused of punching the victim in her face and choking her. Jones was jailed in lieu of posting $5,035 and was ordered to not have contact with the adult victim and a child who was present when the alleged offense occurred. An arraignment is scheduled for February 5th. A booking photo was not immediately available. And today's paper has some facts about today in history. Today is Thursday, January 21st, the 21st day of 2021. There are 344 days left in the year. And today's highlight is, on January 21st, 2020, 1 year ago today, the U.S. reported its first known case of the new virus circulating in China, saying a Washington State resident who had returned the previous week from the outbreak's epicenter was hospitalized near Seattle. U.S. officials stressed that they believed the overall risk of the virus to the American public remained low. Also on this date in 1793, during the French Revolution, King Louis XVI, condemned for treason, was executed on the guillotine. And on this date in 1915, the first Kiwanis Club, dedicated to community service, was founded in Detroit. And on this date in 1924, Russian revolutionary Vladimir Lenin died at age 53. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for January 21st. Please stay tuned.